Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Next week, we're going to be celebrating our Helping Hands initiative and some of the stories that have been coming out about that. Many of us have been involved in and around the area, serving with different organizations and groups and events, and there's some great stories piling in about that. So we're excited to celebrate that next week. But this week, we want to talk about just some financial generosity that's been going on recently in and through the church. We have a value of generosity here at Living Waters. We have 7 core values, and one of them is generosity. And one of the things that we've said about that value over the years is quite simply that we want to be generous because we believe that Jesus is generous. And so holding that value up to ourselves consistently as a community is something that we think is really important. What does it mean to be a generous church? What does it mean to be generous families and persons, individuals? And so we find and are finding different ways to be generous, asking that question, what does it mean to be generous? And one of the ways over the years that we have been doing that is through something called the Generosity Fund that you may or may not be aware of. And the Generosity Fund is something that comes together each year. 5% of our giving goes into this generosity fund, and it accrues throughout the year. And at different points in the year, we go to that fund and we ask, how can we bless people out of this fund? How can we consider organizations or groups in the area who are doing good work, and how can we give to them to give towards that good work? And so the organizations and groups that we give to don't necessarily have to be Christian. They just need to be groups that we know that Jesus would smile on, really quite simply. And so we have a group of people that come together, our social justice team, and they do incredible work with finding, researching, learning about organizations that are doing this good work in and through our communities, vetting them and considering them, asking good questions of them, and putting together a recommendation of groups that we could give to each year, depending on how much money is available through that generosity fund. So what you're going to see on the screen behind me is a couple of slides and descriptions of the groups that and organizations that have been given to and the monies that have been given to them. And I'm not going to go through every single group because there's a few of them, but they are represented by a few different concerns and needs, and I'll share what some of those are. So you're going to see organizations that serve the poor and the homeless in our neighborhood. You're going to see organizations that serve people in addiction and recovery. You're going to see organizations that serve people who are in the prison system or transitioning out of the prison system. You're going to see organizations represented that serve the vulnerable, like children and the elderly. You're going to see other organizations that serve vulnerable people that are on the margins that we might not otherwise know about or get involved with, like trafficked people, abused people, or people seeking refugee status and needing housing in Canada. And you're also going to see that we're giving towards chaplaincy work in our local hospital. So chaplaincy where people who are sick or fighting for their lives are served by spiritual care. So these are some of the groups and the areas that our social justice team has considered and that our generosity fund is going towards. Also, this year, because of your giving, because of your generosity, we're able to give even more to our global workers. We have 12 global workers around the world, different families, and at Christmas, we like to be able to give them a gift. And because of your generosity this year, we've been able to give each of them a $1,000 gift. And so that means that our total for generosity end-of-year giving for 2018 in December is $65,000. So thank you very much for your giving. Yeah. So what's important to remember is that we don't necessarily share this information with one another to pat ourselves on the back. That's not necessarily what it's about. What it's about is us being reminded of what can happen when we give together, what can happen when we contribute together, and that it's only possible to do this kinds of stuff if we contribute and give in together. So we want to just make you aware of what's going on and what's made possible because of your giving. Areas and organizations and people groups that you might never get involved with other than being able to touch lives through your generosity, through your financial giving. So thank you for doing that. We've said over the years that the church is not a supermarket. where we just come and consume. A church is a community garden that we all get involved in. And we hope that we can continue to be a garden that's overflowing with produce for all kinds of people in different ways. And that's made possible through your giving, so thank you for that. As we are giving towards the end of the year, just on that financial note, want to let you know that you're able to give online right up until midnight on the 31st. You're able to give on the 23rd and the 24th. And if you have any questions about giving, any questions about those sorts of financial matters in the church, we're an open book and we'd love to chat with you about them. But we want to actually invite Harold to come on up. And some of you might know Harold, some of you might not. Harold is a member of our leadership council. And we've asked Harold if he would pray a blessing, actually, on the funds as they go out and on the organizations that we're giving towards today.
You know, when I came here 3 years ago, I learned that this is a value-driven church. There's seven key values, of which generosity is one of them. And so I learned that we like to do what we say we do. In fact, this morning I was just reading, I just thought it was interesting, where Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is of good report, whatever is worthy of praise. And then he says this, put into practice. So that's what this is all about. And I love it that we get to do this together. This is not the council doing, this isn't the church leadership doing, this is we doing it together. So in the spirit of that, would you just bow your head, and I'm going to give thanks along with you for what God has done in each and every one of us. Father, we're grateful today just to be partners with you in this. Father, we know that we have your heart for each and every one of those people on that list, people who serve, people who are disadvantaged, people who are marginalized, people who are just have big hearts to look out for those who have not. And so, Father, we thank you for the partnership, for calling us into partnership with you to that end. Lord, I pray that you would bless every dollar that's been given. Father, may it find its target. Father, would it carry with it the love of Jesus Christ in some way, Father, even to those who don't know you? Would it communicate your heart, Father, your burden for each and every one of those lives that it serves? And Father, I want to ask you, too, that you would multiply to each and every life here that's given generously, sacrificially. Father, would you multiply that back to us? Lord, we love your economy, and we love you do it in this way. And we praise and thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Harold. Dave's going to come up and continue in our series, Generous.
Thank you, Harold. Thank you, Luke. What a good report. Isn't that awesome? And thank you. There are so many wonderful exchanges that are happening these days. And good to be on a good journey together. Luke mentioned next Sunday is a kind of a reminding ourselves of the good helping hands expressions that are continuing to happen. And that'll be just wonderful to hear how with good intention, good things can happen. So thanks for being a good people, doing good things. So as Luke has said, we continue in our generous series. Has already been noted, I think if we were to select a single word that would recognize God and God's interaction with the human story, if we were to think of one word, perhaps the word that would come to surface would be the word generous. I really don't know of a single word that would best or better reflect the exchanges that God has with us. Generous. How generous God is. We consider generous peace today. Generous hope was our conversation last week, and we look today at generous peace. Anyone here like white Christmas lights? Like white? There's more of you. There has to be, because people that like white Christmas lights are the best people in the world. I really like some of you. I'm gonna really like white Christmas lights. One of the things that was beautiful, Mike has said about Friday night, was our property was full of white lights, like all the way back into the back property here was all these white lights, and this room was white lights. It was beautiful. I think we should try to find a way to keep white lights in our January and in our February and in our Marches. I think we got to talk to those people out there and say white lights year-round is actually the way to go. So let's work on that. One of the reasons I like lights, you choose your color, is because when something that typically is dark is illuminated, we see it in a very, very different way. Perhaps that's that street or that apartment across the way, where year-round it looks not like it looks when it becomes illuminated with white lights, which is best, but with lights. Or perhaps that corner in your living space that you decorate that one time of year where normally it's an ignored space, but you put some lights on it and all of a sudden your view on it looks a little different. Illumination. That which happens when a new light or a brighter light shines on something and pushes away the darkness is a beautiful thing. And that's kind of what's happening in Luke chapter 2, where we pick up a story with the shepherds. A bright new light shining and illuminating a darkness that had prevailed for hundreds of years. And this bright light, this new bright light that was shining, stirred a curiosity in the hearts of many with this curiosity that said, could personal and neighborhood peace actually become a reality? Generous peace. Let's read part one of the Christmas stories that's found in Luke chapter 2 to consider the illumination of peace. Verse 8, chapter 2 of Luke. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said, "for I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in stripes of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." It's quite a story. It's a wonderful story. Shepherds at work, the night shift. Any night shift workers? It was the night shift, and they were on the job. And that typical ordinary evening became extraordinary because of the events that we just read. An ordinary evening being disrupted, interrupted by the sight and sounds of angels that caught the attention of the shepherds. And the angels spoke with clarity and shared an invitation that captured the imagination and attention of these shepherds. But my first thought this afternoon is perhaps, though, the illumination, the new or the broader, brightly shining light, was perhaps more than the illumination of that dark, starry sky. For as we look back now on that story of so many years ago, perhaps that night the shepherd's personal needs were being illuminated. And perhaps the nightlight that was shining on their dark soul. It was shining perhaps upon the lives of those who had never been awakened by the hope, peace, joy, and love of Jesus Christ. Because as you and I know, sometimes you don't know you're missing something until someone tells you. That happens with my keys all the time. You missing these? Yep. Happens all the time. Sad enough, but it does. This is, again, kind of what was happening that evening. For perhaps the shepherds didn't know they needed a Savior, a Messiah, or a Lord until they were told. Perhaps they didn't know that they needed peace until the invitation of discovering peace was set before them. I observe that a lot of people live thinking that what they're experiencing is what they will always experience and is what everybody else is experiencing. I think there's many people that consider life to be that which represents disappointment and fatigue and disruption and frustration, and are of a mind that that is what everybody else is experiencing. That is the way it is. And this message that comes to us via angels and the unfolding of the story, which perhaps is familiar to many of us, is that is not the way it is for many, nor does it have to be for us. For that night, the sky was aglow, and the big idea that was stirring the imagination was that perhaps things need to be different than they apparently were. The need that was awakened within the shepherds' lives was that, yes, we need a Savior. And yes, we need a Messiah. And yes, we need a Lord in our life. All people, all day, and every day. The angels said many things, but certainly pointedly said two things. The angels said to the shepherd, "You will find a baby." This word "find" is the big word in their announcement. You will find. The word "find" has some very specific meaning. To find, you will find the baby. The word "find" means what you've been missing and what you need, you can find. You will find it. It's yours. It's for you. It's awaiting your pickup. You need to go get it. For what you've been missing, you can find. Another part of the definition of "you will find a baby" is experience. It's the better word is actually you will experience a baby. Perhaps suggesting and referencing the end of a search, the end of the search of a longing in a person's heart. For what you've been looking for exists, and you can experience it. And then lastly, it's a reference to the future. When you find and experience what you've been missing and what you need, your future will then, from that point on, be different. So it's a future focus. So when the angel said, "You will find," they were choosing prophetically the appropriate word for that hour. The second announcement was suddenly the angels were joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Must have been quite a sight. Unexpectedly, the one angel was accompanied by many or a host, and noting the armies of heaven announcing peace. What a contrast. Armies announcing peace. The armies of heaven announcing peace. Announcing the arrival of what mankind has been missing until that time. An army announcing that things now were different on earth. Things are not the way they were. Perhaps the war won. Jesus the Messiah, the Savior and Lord, the King is born. It's the dawning of a new day. And most importantly, there is now peace on earth. A peace that was not here before is here now, and there is and this peace is here to stay. Peace on earth. When you consider the word peace, it takes us to two thoughts. It takes us to a person of peace, and it takes us to a path of peace with equal importance. Let's consider both. The first one is the person of peace, Jesus. Peace is now on earth in the form of a person who has a name, and it's Jesus. Peace on earth. A person has come, and we need to pay attention. The Gospels tell us that Jesus, ironically enough, didn't have a safe life. Gospels, Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, tell us the narrative. Jesus was targeted, he was pursued, he was plotted against. He lived a life that seemed anything but comfortable or peaceful. So again, another contrast. Peace is the message Jesus proclaimed at birth. And somehow peace would be the result of Jesus' disquieted story. And as Luke Knight has studied and written, that the news we hear at Jesus' birth is about a different kind of peace. It's peace for everyone, which is achieved through means other than imposition and control or neglect. So when Jesus announces peace, it was a different kind of peace. For through Jesus, the world would see power reimagined so that peace could be extended to everyone, not just the privileged. God's peace in the announcement, beyond the proclamation, would bring a peace to bear on this earth, and it would look very different than Caesar's or Pharaoh's, who were the power people of the day. This would mean peace would be achieved using power very, very differently. So Jesus' life says, in one sense, to forget everything we think about power and look to him to discover what real power is. For here, Jesus, our central figure, described as God with us, born of the Most High, someone destined to be great, but yet Jesus' life and certainly his death did not look all that great at the time. So somehow the writers of the Gospels are trying to tell us that the kind of peace that Jesus' life ushered into the world through the way he understood and used power is different from our own. And we need to pay attention to that. For here, for the first time, is a life so full of God's life that we're shown what real power is, and therefore, because of that, what real peace is. Power and greatness, says the New Testament, isn't about control and imposition. It's about sacrifice and service. And Jesus modeled that, carrying many times even a broken heart because of a strained relationship, always chose agape love, which created a force to reckon with and consider. He carried agape love in his heart, unconditional love, and it was always, whosoever will, you can come, come. Friends, I think that those who determine agape love as the only way will find peace on earth and for all eternity. Those who determine agape love as the only way will find peace on earth and for all eternity. The contrast is those who determine conditional love as their only way will not likely find peace on earth and may not find peace for all eternity. Jesus presents us with agape love because he's a person of peace. The second idea is the path of peace. Mike read earlier, I'll read again from Luke chapter 1. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. So when the angels announced to the shepherds and still to us in hearing today, peace on earth, they were referring as well to a path of peace that we, friends, need to get up and on. It's the path of peace. For peace is only real peace if it's available for everyone. And Jesus teaches us that true peace only comes through wielding our power differently. And again, as Luke Knight has written, so rather than using our power to isolate and serve ourselves, we choose instead to drop our guards and serve one another. And in so doing, offer peace. Rather than only looking out for ourselves, we love our neighbors. This is not only Jesus' teaching, but it's his example. So here is a God happy to be born into hay for our benefit and saying to his heavenly Father, it's not my will that needs to be done on earth, but it's your will to be done on earth. And so when God wanted to bring peace to this world, he didn't send in the tanks. God came as a baby and then eventually picked up a cross. So finding contentment along the path of peace will require us to continually ask some penetrating questions of ourselves. How will we choose to bring about peace in our communities? How will we choose to bring about peace in our relationships, in our homes, in our families? Will we send in the tanks, or will we send in ourselves, guns down and arms open? Will we stop shouting and instead listen? Will we call for a ceasefire to the silent treatment and manipulation and really begin to look one another in the eyes as human beings? For if we want to walk the path of peace, it will mean putting an end to us controlling each other and shutting one another out. It will mean vulnerability, humility, and authenticity. For this is how God brings peace to bear on the world through the life of Jesus, even if we are uncomfortable with his methods. That is the gospel. This is the gospel. And this will lead us into real peace and towards the possibility of peace for everyone. Peace on earth. For real peace will always have something to do with sacrifice and patience. And so the path to peace will often be the road less traveled. It will often be the road less traveled. But Christmas tells us that God has taken that road. And he invites people in this room and all over his world to come along with him on this path of peace. So the shepherds, upon hearing about finding a baby or experiencing a baby in a new future, and about this peace, this person of peace and this path, it created a spiritual pilgrimage for them in saying, let's go to Bethlehem. And let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So in referencing good listeners, the shepherds, for when they said, let us go see, they're using the exact word as the angels announcing, you will go find. It's the same word. Find and see. It's the same word. Let's go experience. How absolutely and completely our future will be different. Let's go experience how our future is going to be so much different than it is today. Friends, when we discover a person of peace and we follow this person of peace along the pathway of peace, you and I have to get used to change. To suggest that we don't like change and like the gospel, that doesn't make sense. Because the gospel is all about change. Status quo is not the order of the day when we are talking about the gospel and talking about the path of peace. The way things have been is not the way that things can be or perhaps will be or should be. The way that that relationship has been for so long is not necessarily the way it should be, nor can it be. We have to get used to change. And the shepherds began a spiritual pilgrimage that created change. And so my question for you today is, are your Christmas traditions and plans leading you on a spiritual pilgrimage? Or is the thought of spiritual pilgrimage even a part of the conversation in this month of December 2018? Christmas is all about pilgrimage, of discovering a person of peace and then walking along the path of peace all the days of our lives. Christmas is something that has happened for us. And Christmas is something that has happened to us. So we need to allow that to come. The shepherds got it right. And their lives were changed moment by moment and day by day. And that would be our hope for each other. We can get it right as well. When we think about the path of peace at Christmas, I've noted from personal experience and observation that there are a few things that test the waters of peace, if you would, during Christmas. Let me practically highlight some and move right down into practice. I think sometimes personal finances at Christmas convolute our hearts in a way that doesn't allow us to experience peace. In this way, sometimes I think for good or bad reasons, there are times we overspend at Christmas. And we push the reality of how much we can actually afford, but we go ahead and do it anyway. So that the path of peace actually eventually becomes a cul-de-sac to us coming back to holding a visa bill at the end of January going, it's going to be hard. Personal finances. So when we think about generosity, we need to think wisely as we express it. I think another area is in the area of family and friends. You see it all over. Christmas calls us back into relationship. And this often highlights families and friendships that are not all they could be. And I want to encourage you with this thought. Perhaps this year, as we follow a person of peace along the pathway of peace, perhaps what we could do this year is begin to expect a bit more of ourselves and a little less of others. And because of that, find a way to have a good Christmas. I think the future at Christmas is called into consideration. For Christmas bumps up in towards the new year. And for some, the thought of a new year is sometimes daunting to try to figure out and sort out. I want to encourage you that when someone is walking along the path of peace, their good future will come to them, and Jesus will take us to places that we can't get to ourselves. So let's relax when we think about our future and trust instead. And I think the last thought that challenges us as it relates to peace is when we look into the manger and hold our gaze. So our faith comes into question. For when we take a look, a deep look into a manger, we see the life of someone that's all in. And the question that always comes back to me is the question about my faith. Am I all in? Because that life is all in. Am I? And I think we need to get to a place where we say, yes, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm not holding back. I'm all in. For peace on earth means very little if there's no peace within. And our prayer for each other on this second Sunday of Advent is that you would know generous peace within your soul. And hear the words of the angels as your words of testimony. Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom our God is pleased. Can we stand together as we close? Let's pray together. Lord, we are humbled as we look into our manger today. We thank you that the name of the one in the manger has been noted as the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. So today we would open up our hearts to your rule as Prince. We would desire that your kingdom would come into our hearts and into our lives. Lord Jesus, come today and establish a rule and a reign within our lives. You loving Prince of Peace. We pray that each one of us today would hear again the call of the gospel message to come and keep coming and to consider the joy of spiritual pilgrimage these days. We thank you that you lead us to the right place at the right time to do the right thing in the right way. And oh God, through the strength that you give us, may we be recipients of generous peace and also dispensers of generous peace this season in a way that would align with what the angel said. Glory to God for this. And may there be good peace on earth in a way that you are well pleased. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. So thank you for joining us this afternoon. Trust you have a good rest of your day if we don't see you during the week. Trust we'll see you next Sunday. Thanks.